All right. Well, welcome everyone to July's LA Film Live Call. My name is Justin Warren. I'm one of the hosts. We have Samir Johnson on the line, one of our hosts.
Hey, everyone.
And Annie Marks is joining us a little bit later. Annie, are you on yet? Not quite yet, but we just want to thank you guys so much for coming to this month's LA Film Live. A little bit later than normal with the 4th of July holiday. But super pumped, we have an awesome call lined up. Something a little different. We have two fantastic guest speakers today instead of one. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about conference. We're going to be talking about their favorite experiences and, if they can put it into words, you know, that sort of thing, on how fantastic the conference is and the experiences that you're able to walk away from. But more than experiences, the friendships that you get to carry with you for lifelong friendship. So without further ado, and just a quick reminder, if background noise, if anyone's near a TV or anything like that, let's try it out, see if we can get everyone muted. I do hear a TV out in the background. If you could just be aware of what you're near, or if you have any friends or family nearby, and mute your phone. You can also star 7 yourself to mute your phone as well. We'll try it out just to kind of help with communication with everybody. And if anybody has any questions throughout the call, definitely let's have Wayne and Ashley chat first, and then we'll definitely open it up for questions. But without further ado, I'd like to welcome to LA Film Live Wayne Daniels as our first-time guest speaker, and Ashley, and I would attempt to say your last name. But super pumped to have both of them on the call. Wayne has gone to conference. This is his third conference and has been affected for a while. And Ashley, it was actually her first conference and has only been affected for 6 months. So really cool to be able to gain two different perspectives, or maybe not two different perspectives, yeah, of conference. So Wayne, Ashley, let's start with Ashley. Ashley, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and when were you first affected and how old you are? And
Jessica.
And kind of the beginnings of that. Yes.
I don't want to interrupt, but there's way too much background. Like somebody
throws
the TV on.
Okay, no problem. Lisa, how do I mute all lines again?
Maria, do you know?
I think it's
Maria. Do you know? I can look it up.
I think it's star 2. Hold on.
That's no, that's right. To record.
Oh,
I think it.
I'm trying to find my notes really quick.
I only know how to call people.
I think it's I want to say pound. No, pound 99.
Oh, I think you're right.
Jessica, star six mutes the line. Pound mutes all lines.
Okay, one second, guys. And then to unmute yourself, you'll have to do star 6, correct?
No, it's star 7. Star 7. Mute.
To unmute, yep. Okay.
How many years we've been doing this?
The conference has been muted.
Okay, perfect. I know, right? How many years have we been doing this? And I still have to. I actually have this like written on my wall by now. And Ashley and Wayne, star 7.
Just like that.
Perfect. Ashley? We'll give her a second. It is bottom left key and the one right above it. Ooh, there we go. Ashley?
Does that work?
Oh, perfect.
Shoot.
Nice.
Yeah, you can hear me? Okay.
Yeah. We got you, Wayne, too?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. And, yeah, that's much better. Sorry about all the background noise. Well, great. Well, Ashley, can we start with you, and can you tell us a little bit about yourself and when you were first diagnosed and all that fun stuff?
Yeah. My name's Ashley Trinkinshu, and I'm 29. I experienced symptoms back in December, so just about 6 months ago. I started out as working, you know, I thought they changed our lights, and I asked the, you know, the manager, like, hey, did we change out our lights? They're like, no. And I thought my computer screens were going out, so I asked someone to look at my computer screens, and they're like, no. And I was off of work for a kind of Christmas and New Year's, because I work for a hop company, so it's agriculture, you know, you're not busy that time of year. And I went to drive back into work on January 3rd, and I couldn't see my speedometer, couldn't see the car next to me. Well, I live in Natchez, so it's 20 minutes from Yakima where I work. And I pulled over a few times, but I made it into Yakima because there was no good spot to turn around. And I pulled over in the Fred Meyer and called my mom, and I told her I couldn't see. And she was like, what? And so we went to the eye doctor, and they did 2 hours of testing on me. And the doctor finally told me, you know, they did all the tests, and I'm like, well, I can see through that. And he's like, well, that's not a prescription, Ashley. This is a neurological. This isn't. I'm like, so this isn't all in my head? He's like, well, it's kind of in your head, but no, literally, like, he's like, it's in your head. It's like, and so he referred me to a doctor in Seattle, Washington. And so I saw her probably later in January, and she instantly recommended genetic testing because my mom's brother was affected by Leber's when he was 21, and he's 63, I believe, now. So it was kind of at least a fast track to hopefully figuring out what was wrong. And so then it was kind of a waiting game to know for sure. And on March 2nd, I believe, is I was house-sitting for a friend, and my doctor called me and confirmed, what we kind of knew, but I hoped wasn't the case, that I had labors. So then it was just kind of figuring out a new lifestyle. I tried to work in January about probably at most like 12 hours a week. I could do a few hours on the computer, and by the end of those hours, I couldn't see the screen anymore. And so my company put me on Family Medical Leave Act for 12 weeks, and so I could figure things out. And at the end of 12 weeks, I had the information from the genetic testing, and I had a release from my doctor to return to work with assistive devices, and they refused to allow that. So I'm on an extended personal leave of absence from work while I continue to figure stuff out. And that's kind of as far as, yeah, I haven't, yeah, it's kind of new to me, but I'm working with it and I'm figuring everything out.
So. Yeah, no, definitely. You're definitely early in the journey, that's for sure. And trying to get everything figured out, and especially with work and getting that, I mean, a lot of us still kind of, it's a never-ending battle, but we have to be our best advocates for sure, and so that's awesome to hear that you're still at it and pushing everything, so that's fantastic. And welcome to the LA2N family. So diagnosed 6 months ago, and then what brought you and kind of towards the conference, you saw something. What brought you or interested you in the conference, or how did you learn about it and things like that?
So I was really resistant at first to, like, I started researching stuff, but then sometimes you start researching stuff and it's kind of like when you look up like a health issue, then everything you look up, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. So I kind of just put looking stuff up. But my mom, I think, got in contact with Lisa, or maybe Lisa got in contact with my mom. I don't know exactly how it happened, but so my mom joined the LHON group, and then okay. I think Lisa added me. And so, you know, I'd see stuff, I'd look at some stuff, but I just kind of, it was there, you know, and then I saw it was probably like 3 days before the scholarship ended for the conference, and I saw it, and I'm like, what the heck, can't hurt. I might as well, you know, fill it out, and I can learn about more about what's going on, and, you know, it doesn't hurt, so I did.
And I think I found out I had some people that are like a block from my house that help me fax it and do everything. And I got the scholarship and
found out that my aunt was going.
So it worked out really well because I could stay with her and flew down together. And
Listen, or someone made the Facebook group for people going to the conference, and they wanted everyone to introduce themselves. And it probably took me a month to, like, introduce myself. Like, I just didn't know what to say. I didn't know, you know, what to do, what to even think. But
yeah.
I finally did, and I'm really glad I did because I think Lee might have been the first person that was like, welcome. You know, and
you're going to have a great time. This is going to be amazing. And this and that. And then, like, I don't know, like 20 other people, like, welcomed me. And, like, you already felt like I was looking forward to it, you know? And so.
Community, which was probably great. You got to be able to meet or at least know who was going to be there and be able to connect faces and names for sure.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, when my aunt and I got there, we didn't get to Nashville till 10 at night, and we hadn't had dinner, and we're flying from West Coast, so we got checked in, and we're going to go down for dinner, and I asked my aunt, I'm like, hey, can we stop by the room, or, you know, because Wayne let us know, they had two joining rooms, and I stopped by, like, say hi, and she's like, sure, absolutely. So we stopped by, and, like, they're like 30 minutes. Well, Wayne was in the hall. He was like waiting for us. He's like, you know, come say hi. And I met so many people already. Like, I'm so glad I stopped in beforehand, like that night, just because even later that evening, people came down where we were eating, like James and Paul and a few other people and James' sister Veronica, I think. And just sat and talked. And like the next day, I just already knew people, like, instant family, like, you know, I'm a pretty shy person usually, and I wasn't afraid to just go up to everyone I saw last night, and, hey, how's it going, you know? So, that was good.
It's so cool, you obviously instantly had a connection with everyone having LHON, and just being able to connect on Facebook prior, but then to be able to see everyone before conference, totally probably made it way easier to transition, but it was probably even more welcoming. Wayne's fantastic at that, just bringing everybody in and creating this awesome welcoming environment, so that's great. Go ahead.
No, I said, oh, shucks. Go ahead.
And just for people to learn about the scholarship, was the process easy? Is it just a short application? Just because there might be some people out there that the scholarship would definitely be beneficial for them. What's the process like?
It was so easy. It was only 2 pages. Probably the hardest part was for me, I think the options were to fax it or scan it in, and just with my difficulty with the computer, but luckily, I had someone that printed it out, and I wrote it out, and then I typed out the information and had someone proofread it for me. Like, they asked you to tell your story, you know, kind of like, how long have you been affected? Are you newly affected? Or, you know, and
right.
I think I wrote a few paragraphs. I mean, it took, probably 3 hours of my time, or maybe 4.
Okay.
And it only took so long because it was hard for me to do.
Okay.
I use my phone a lot to zoom in on things. Now I don't. I have other devices that help me, but at that time it was using your phone or having someone help you. But it was really easy, and it was totally worth it. I mean, and it gives you options, like, do you need help with hotel or help with flight? And since I was staying with my aunt, I just put down the flight and flight and one other thing. I can't remember the other one. Oh, flight and the fee for the registration.
That's really cool.
And it said you could get anywhere from $100 to $500. So I was like, well, any little bit would help. And so it was awesome. It totally, was part of the deciding factor in me going.
That's fantastic. I always see the scholarship out there, And I don't know why I never think to do it or never think to apply. And, I mean, definitely a great idea for anybody that is on the fence about going or maybe just having a hard year, and this is a great option. So thank you for sharing how easy that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now let's jump to Wayne, and then we'll definitely, then we'll come back and have the both of you. Wayne, I mean, I'm sure everyone on the call knows you, but tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been affected, and conference time number three, right?
Conference number three, yeah, and I'll be there next year for sure. But I'm just going to go through my whole story.
Okay.
Susie says I'm sort of long-winded, but she's at Bunko tonight, so you'll have to deal with it. But so, because there's a lot of, there's new people that have never heard things before, but there's many other people who have been through the same thing I have. And so I'll just say the whole thing. But anyway, I was affected in 1979 at the age of 21. And I'm 60 now, so it's 39 years. And I was born in 1958 in a small town in Maryland. Oh, okay, that's too early. I'll skip ahead. So anyway, jump ahead to the summer of 1979. And looking back, I think this is what triggered LHON. But my doctor at Johns Hopkins, where I finally got diagnosed, said no, but that was back in 80. But I got hit by a car as a pedestrian and broke my leg, had internal bleeding, slashed top of my head open. And then maybe like 2 months after that, I went for a learner's permit for a motorcycle. And had problems with the eye test. And I kept pulling my head out, and she said, just keep your head down in there. Maybe it's the light affecting you, dark light. So she went ahead and let me slide by. But I'm looking, maybe that was a start. And then like, I don't know, I'm just going to guess, or maybe like a month later, I was on the side road, and I was pulling into a driveway to back out and turn around. But I pulled right in front of a car and just didn't even see it. And so then I went for glasses, and they didn't help. Then they helped a little bit, then they didn't help again over time. So I wrecked the car, got another car. So and then so I went to another eye doctor, and he sent me for, you know, spinal tap and MRI and blood work and, you know, said it was MS maybe and just all these other tests. And so then vitamin B12 shots and high dosage of vitamins. And so nothing was really happening. And he reported it to the state of Maryland, where I worked and lived, because I'd worked around chemicals. And so he thought it was something to do with the chemicals. So I either quit or it was leave of absence, or I can't remember. And so then I wrecked the car one more time, total of three times. And so the last time I drove was December of 79. And that was coming home from work, nighttime, and a back road, and the older guy was right in front of me, turning left. And he's waiting for traffic to stop. And I slammed in the back of him maybe 20 feet, I'm guessing, away from him before I saw his taillights. So that was the last time I drove. So then I called back my my doctor said, it was just me and my mom in his office. He said, well, it's either he's making it up or it's in his head. And so, and I knew, you know, I'm not making it up. It's not in my head. I can't see. So I called my original doctor back up, and he made an appointment at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore with Dr. Neil Miller. And so when I went there, he looked in my eyes. It was before the blood test. And he diagnosed me right away and said, you know, not going to get better. It's not going to get worse. There'll be a cure in your lifetime. And so I'm still waiting, but I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket there. But so let's see, what did he say? So and he said it wasn't from that accident. And so then I don't know. My mom said I was sort of depressed, but you know I was just relieved to find out what it was. And I think I went through a period of maybe drinking more than I should. And if any of you guys and gals out there saw my Facebook at the back of our car, maybe that period's still going on. I'm not sure. But anyway, so diagnosed and then moving ahead. My wife was working. We had a daughter. Made sense for her just to stay working at NIH, National Institute of Health, and I'd be Mr. Mom. So I brought up my one girl. Then we had another child. So I had those, my two daughters. And then my buddy, who I've known since second grade, he had his first kid. Then he had another. So they asked me to watch his kids. So over a period of time, you know, I had like five kids in the house, and I would, you know, vacuum, make breakfast, take care of the kids, do the laundry, cut the grass, all that stuff. And then as they got older, I'd walk a whole bunch of them, have them strollers, walk them to school, go pick them up afterwards. And then even, you know, yeah, when they grew up, pick them up from school and everything. And then I watched when my nephew in 94, he was born. I watched him for 5 years until he went to school. But I guess that's about it. And then I met, oh, well, let's see. I thought I was the only one pretty much, you know, from 79 until I first got my first computer in 1997 and found Jim Leader's website, the website before the Yahoo support group. And found other people, you know, that have what we have. And so then, you know, it went on from there to Facebook and got bigger and bigger. And then I met my first LHO infected, which was Nicole Visnick, in 2009. So 30 years after being affected, I met somebody finally. So the conference is absolutely amazing. And most of you knew this, a lot of you don't, but I have two mutations like Chris Herbst. I am 11778, and my second mutation, which is Susie, she's at Bunko, like I said, she's 15257. But as Nicholas said at the conference, that's me. So.
That's awesome. So take us back to conference. Talk about conference and what was one of your favorite takeaways? I mean, there's so many great things that happen at conference, from education things that happen to obviously like instant bonds that happen, that the friendships you made over Facebook are finally right in front of us. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, well, it's just something like I've had it for, you know, my first conference, 2015, I was 56. And I didn't know what to expect, but you go there, and it's just absolutely unbelievable the instant friendship you have and connection. And then it's like Ashley, she's been, you know, she's 29 and was affected 6 months ago. And she'll tell you, but she walks away with the same thing, you know. And I'd gone, you know, 30-some years before something like this, and it was great for her to come into it, you know, 6 months into it, and I'm glad she did. But it's something, I don't know what carriers feel like or family or friends that come to the conference, but as far as me affected, and I know Paul and Jeff and John Walters and Lance would speak up and tell how they felt, but it's just hard to describe what it's like. It's just, I've talked to John Walters for 4 years now, and, you know, this was his first time I met him, and we spent the night at his house before the night before the conference, and then we drove, all three of us came in. But it's just an amazing experience that's hard to put into words.
Ashley, you want to add?
Yeah. Sorry, it is hard to put into words. I was going into it originally, like, I've been at work conferences, you know, and I was going to learn, you know, like, learn as much as I can, you know. But even more than, like, learning, it was meeting people. Meeting people that you talk to them, and they exactly know what it is to look at another person and not see their face, and how hard it is. They know every single struggle you have, the exact same one. And, I mean, yeah, I have friends. I have a lot of great friends who have been hugely supportive. But it's not the same as this instant family that I felt like I've known them my whole life. So... It is a hard thing to explain. I mean, the day we took the picture, not everyone left, but some people left. Because, you know, they had to go home early, whatever, long drives. Like, it was emotional, you know, I was in tears. Like, oh my gosh, Ashley, like, grow up. Like, what's wrong with you? But you meet people, and it's, you know, you miss them already. You wish they were still there. You wish you had that one more day, like Chris Hurst was saying. And then even in the airport, I mean, I had that extra day, but even in the airport, sitting with my aunt, I got some coffee at Starbucks, and I sat there, and I wrote a post on my Facebook about, you know, the great experience that, regardless of what, if I get better, if I get worse, you know, I've made friendships that'll last a lifetime and have changed my life forever. And I fell apart there, you know. And I miss everyone already, so I've missed them since I left. So it's, you don't get that anywhere else. Just don't. You know, at the conference, there was the panels. I mean, yeah, there was all the information, the assistive devices. I mean, I did learn some stuff about that. James and I both tried on the glasses, and they didn't really help me, and I don't know if they helped him much, but some people, they might have. But, you know, there was the panel of everyone with their experiences and their story. I think Nicholas from Brazil, and then there's Paul and...
Daisy.
Yeah, and a few other people, forgetting the names because I'm emotional, but it showed me, because I felt like when I got that call, I was house sitting, I felt like my life was over, like, and I didn't do anything drastic, and I haven't yet, but, well, not really, but it showed me that there is still life, people still want you, like, you're not, like, I felt like I'll be alone forever, you know? But people get married. People move on. People get jobs just because your work's a pain in the ass and doesn't want you, or just because, you know, it'll be okay. And those stories were inspirational. They were huge. Like, it was probably the most important part of the conference for me, to know not only are you not alone, but you're not alone in the struggles that you have. So... yeah.
And I'll say something about Daisy. She got up there, and she wrote this before the conference on the 2018 conference attendees page. And she said how she was actually happy that she has LHON because it led her, I think she was like a vocational teacher or something, but it led her, she took off for a year, and somehow she got into massage therapy. And she said she's glad she had it because otherwise she would never be there. And she just has a passion for it, and she loves her job. And you know, I felt the same way before, that I'm happy I have it, because it's like, that's how I met Susie. And I would not, there's no way I would be with her unless there was an Ella Joan connection. But having a good life.
Yeah, you guys seem really happy. So.
You know, it's so true. I feel like I've said this since the second I went to conference for the first time, is that LA2N has no age. I mean, definitely age differences all over the map, you know, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the age difference between any of us, because whenever it happens to us, we all can relate to that experience. And we can all relate to whether we're in school or we're trying to keep our job or stay afloat, or, I mean, even the emotional side of everything, and being able to see that other people with LA2N are okay and doing fantastic. I knew that was what was important for me. I just needed to meet somebody else and know that I was going to be okay, that I was going to be fine, and I was going to be able to get through this. And to have it at conference and see so many people surrounded by you that have gone through the exact same thing you have is, I mean, yeah, it's hard to put into words for sure, because you, like, everyone around you gets it.
And we'll say another thing is about James Kanicki. But he was digging around in my cooler and digging around. And, you know, it's for anybody help himself. But he kept digging around. And I said, dude, what are you doing? Let me help you out. What are you looking for? And he said, there's Bud Ice Platinum in here, bottle. And I go, how in the world do you know that? He goes, because my mom saw the picture in the back of your car with all the beer and the booze in it. And she saw Bud Ice Platinum in there. I said, so that's what moms are for, huh? So I dug him out one.
I love it. Moms are always there, to kind of, you know, tell us the good stuff. That's fantastic.
I was going to say, James has been really helpful for me. He started teaching me voiceover. And my way of reading text these days is taking a screenshot, zooming it in, or blowing up as much as you possibly can. And he's like, Ashley, there's another way to do this. And so there's a conference who's been talking to me. Okay.
Hello? Ashley, did we lose you?
Am I there?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. I heard some background noise, sorry.
And throughout the conference, though, he's been teaching me, and then since then, like, well, we've talked basically every day, but I have a question, and he's like, you'll just do this. And so I get frustrated, and so I go between turning it on and off and going back to my old method, but, you know, in the event that I need that all the time, I'm glad that I'm learning it now. And today, it's been a hard eyesight day. I've had a smoky house due to burning some chicken in the oven. And
you need a smoke alarm.
I don't have a smoke alarm. I need one.
The girl talking, she put chicken breast in her oven and went to sleep, and it cooked for 10 hours.
I have charcoal briquettes now.
Or hot firefighters, one of the two.
I never got that.
Just saying.
But the voiceover, today, it's been huge. It's all
huge. I hope
huge.
I'm still on me.
I'm getting pretty proficient. So.
That's awesome. And what's so great about that is, you know, there is the people that have been affected for longer than we have, and have maybe, you know, they have those tips and tricks that they maybe have learned a little bit ahead of us, and so they can help us out with those tricks and make life a little bit easier for us, as especially being newly affected. Like, let us teach you some tricks that kind of help us out and make things a little bit faster for us. I'll never forget Andy told me to safety pin my socks together. And now my entire family, that my mom and dad can see, they also safety pin their socks. So it's carried throughout the family. And it's just like little stuff that really makes a difference, like what James is helping with. It saves time and makes things better.
Well, then I'm not wearing hot pink and lime green together that day.
Right, right. We just got a new friend, but yeah, I feel like... Go ahead, Lee.
I just want to say another thing about the friendship, the connection, you know. And some of you, me, I've talked to over the phone for years or just a year, and then you meet them at the conference or you've never met them yet, but you're still friends. And it still makes me smile. And when we, I'm sure it will, but it's like I don't talk to John Knox very often, but sometimes he'll just call. And, you know, a while back, he just, I look down and I use my magnifying glass, but other times if I hold it close enough, I can sort of make out letters like, that looks like John Knox. And I just smile, you know, because to feel that way comfortable, you can just pick up the phone and call somebody, you know, and Lance or John Walters, Paul, Chris Herbst, Cindy, you know, Maria, Lisa, but she doesn't answer all the time, but anyway, that's okay.
She's a busy woman.
Busy girl.
Yeah, it's the friend that can relate to anything that you're going through because, I mean, it relates to it all. And, I mean, it's back to the LA someone has no age. I mean, Wayne can relate to Ashley, and it doesn't matter. It's all, we're all there for each other, for sure.
Yeah, Nicholas's mom stayed with us this past weekend, Rosalie. And it's
nice.
Like, you know... He's just a ball of energy, and he talks so fast, you know, and he's just, but I feel like, okay, I'm the same age as this guy, or he's close to my age or something, and, but then, you know, 23, that's okay, I'm 60, 23, I'm close enough, but then I said, what year were you born? 1995, I'm like, holy crap, you know, it's like I told you earlier, my nephew was born in 94, and I'm changing diapers and watching him till he's 5 years old. But, no, it's a great, great connection, friendship, and everybody gets it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you do. You just, yeah, there really is no words until you experience it, though, until you just, you're there, and, you know, there is nothing, like, no... No, I used to write poetry. I've been writing again. Well, it's harder, but, you know, voice to text works well. There is nothing that really describes it until you actually experience it and feel it. So, I can't wait to see everyone again next year. I wish there was, like, mini conferences or mini get-togethers, you know. Maybe not a conference, but get-togethers in different parts of the country. So, like, accessible places. That are closer for other people, they just have a weekend. You know, like retreats.
There totally is, Ashley. There definitely is. You'll have to get together with your Seattle piece. There's definitely get together across the region.
But I don't know. That's about as much as I've done. It's a lot of work sometimes figuring out Facebook with when you can't see it very well.
Totally true. Definitely.
Yeah.
So you guys went on some adventures while you were in Nashville. I mean, you were in a fantastic city. Do you guys have any fun adventure stories to share?
Oh, yeah. Chris Herbst got on stage with two singers.
Ooh.
Pictures on Facebook.
Perfect. I was like, Chris, this is awesome. Did you guys, like, go out into town? Or I know, Wayne, you were telling me about a bus that you guys all jumped in. And did you guys just kind of, like, step out of town together?
Wayne and Susie organized a lot of the extracurricular, the bus and all that, and the Acme.
No.
And we went there.
Go ahead.
But, yeah, you go ahead. You organize it. You talk about it.
No, but it worked out great, you know. It was like, you know, Susie worked with Tasha at the hotel and set up the shuttle bus that held 25 people. I think there were 23 of us in there. And it was $10 round trip, and they pick you up every hour at a certain spot. And so 23 of us went down there, and then we all just sort of split up in different groups. And the six of us were me and Susie, Ashley, Chris, and Bob Herbst. And we met up with Jeff and Renee
And my Aunt Jana.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Aunt Jana, yes. Yep. And went around to a brewery and did a couple bars playing music. And then we all met up at Acme Feed and Seed and took some pictures and got up on the rooftop deck and everything. And
was there 30 of us?
Just a good time.
Yeah. It was good. And we ran into people in the streets. We're going one way, other people are going another way. We're like, oh, hi, we'll see you. See you in a bit.
Right. That didn't weren't on the bus, but we're at the conference.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Whole thing just came together really well. Like everything was great, smooth.
Ashley had said earlier, I just so wanted to, because I was keeping in contact with Jana, her aunt, and she was texting me. Okay, we just landed. Okay, we just got to the hotel. Okay, we're in our room. I said, listen, can you come down and meet these people in our room? They're getting ready to leave. And Molly was trying to tow Maria away, and I'm like, stay. And Molly's like, I'm tired. I said, just stay for a minute, will you? And because I just wanted to have Ashley meet whoever she could so she's not going into the conference the next day cold and doesn't know anybody.
No, it was the best. I mean, you're the best, Wayne. I'm so glad you did that. Like, the next morning, we're both getting ready, and I told Jana, I'm going down by myself. I'm going to go get my registration and go see hi to people. And she was like, all right, have fun. I'm like, I'll be back. And I got to be all independent and, like, go, like, sometimes people babysit you. And I hate it because I'm fully capable. And people forget that. Like, I can do everything I used to do. Just it takes something a little different. Zoom in with my camera. I have a Ruby. I zoom in with that, I can still do it. And she's like, yeah, go for it, Ashley. And I came back up. I'm like, here's the situation. We check in. Breakfast is over here. This is this. So it was awesome. And I went and said hi to everyone. Just all by myself.
That is awesome. Amen, sister. We can do it all
by
ourselves.
I felt so accomplished. The little things in life,
Absolutely.
Wayne and Susie, they're awesome.
Well, I want to open up the call now to all of our friends that are still joining on the call and open it up and see if they have any questions or do you guys want to chime in on maybe your favorite moments of the conference and expand on that.
You have to
star 7 yourself. That way we can kind of keep out the background noise, but please unmute yourself and feel free to join us and ask questions to Wayne or Ashley.
Hi, my name is Jessie. Our daughter was just diagnosed yesterday. And what kind of devices do people use? Ashley, she's 27. She may want to talk to you. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm learning it myself.
Okay.
I use my phone a lot. I use the camera feature on my phone to zoom in on a lot of stuff. Or I'll take a picture of something and do a screenshot, zoom in. It depends on your vision. I also have the Ruby 7. Chris Herbs has a smaller version of the Ruby. But depending on where you live, I got in touch with the Department of the Blind, and they just got me a laptop and a whole bunch of stuff. I'm still learning all that, so I can't explain on that right now. But the Ruby 7 in my phone, and I have a tablet. My tablet is my lifesaver because
okay. It
can do everything. So that's what I currently use, but I'm still learning.
Okay.
And I'm learning voiceover, but it's taking me some time.
What is Ruby 7? What's Ruby 7?
So the Ruby 7, it's kind of like a tablet, but it can invert colors. So depending on
it's
your
a magnifier.
Device, it's a magnifier, but
it's it's a smaller CCTV.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you know what a CCTV is?
Can you hear Wayne?
The gal who just asked the question.
Was it Judy?
Jesse.
Jesse. You know what CCTV is?
I don't know. My husband's on the call as well. Can you repeat that, please?
Okay.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, I don't want to say overhead projector exactly, but it's where it's like depending, you know, they're different sizes, maybe 12, 13-inch screen right in front of you, and you put, you know, a birthday card or your checkbook underneath or your ledger, and you can read books, you can read things, you can sign, you know, sign checks, and you can magnify anywhere, I'm not sure, 3 times to 25 times. And change the contrast and colors. But the Ruby is just a portable, mini, smaller version of a CCTV.
Yeah, okay. So where do you get one of those? Department of Blind Services, your state.
Yeah,
okay.
But you can get them from, I looked them up on Amazon. You can actually buy them. So it's not just an exclusive thing. It's just the nice thing is, you. I don't know where you live, but I just applied for services there. And they figured out what was going on, and they got me this stuff, hopefully so I can go back to work. But you can purchase them, so it's not just exclusive just because, you know, you can still get them.
Yeah. Thank you.
Does anyone have the glasses?
This is Chris in Pennsylvania. I have the Ruby handheld, and Pennsylvania Blind and Visual Services did not provide this for me like some states do. So I found someone who sells this privately. He sells these types of instruments in Pennsylvania. And I have a handheld one, and it's sold by Optelec. And it's just a very nice instrument. I can put it in my handbag, read a menu, for instance, when I go out into a restaurant. It's the size of... it's like 4x6, and it's handheld, but it's by Optelec.
I really like Optelec.
Yeah,
I have an Optelec too. This is Maria and Lissa. Lissa is probably looking up links right now on the Facebook page.
I was actually sending Jesse a link to it, but I can do that too.
There you go. Well, there you go. Because she does our like real time stuff. This is Maria, by the way, and but she's great about posting links about anything we talk about. I also use Optelec. I have a small handheld. It's an HD. It's about a 7-inch screen I keep in my kitchen. I have a smaller one I keep in my bag, and sitting right in front of me is my CCTV, which has it looks like a huge computer monitor. And like Wayne said, you put stuff under it, it magnifies up to, I think, like 90 times. Like I can put one letter on the screen, and it allows you to read and do tasks underneath this, you know, camera. And you have to watch the screen, of course. And as Ashley was saying, you can invert the colors so it's white on black, which sometimes is much easier on some people's, you know, vision. So those tools alone, the CCTV, which is a big desktop thing, and the handheld magnifiers or mini CCTVs, I think are top of the list for assistive devices.
If you have enough vision for them.
Yes, if you have enough vision. If you have any peripheral vision left or decent peripheral vision, it should be usable. But again, if there's any way to try and go to maybe if there's a lighthouse or some kind of blind organization close by that might have things that she can try, that's ideal as well. Ashley also said, yes, you can order these things online, but it's telling you the handhelds are at least $800,000. They're not cheap.
I think mine
and the other full-size CCTVs are thousands of dollars.
My handheld Optelec was about $750.
How are
well worth the investment.
I was just gonna say
and I think that she's doing the link. on the Facebook.
I did.
OPTLEC.
Messaged me. Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And then Ashley was also
T-I-L-E-C.
No, it's T-E-L-C. Whatever. It's a weird spelling. But the as Ashley was saying, her phone and also tablet, an iPhone and an iPad are huge devices to have. There are so many apps out there for the blind and visually impaired, magnification apps, money readers, color readers. I mean, there's a whole world that is out there and waiting to help your daughter, as well as this community. So, again, some people have Android. Most of the folks in the community and blind community have iPhones, Apple products, which are top. Number one for accessibility for people who are blind and visually impaired.
Yeah, we've.
I'd like to add something to that.
Can you hit a few apps on her phone this week too, and she's using.
Perfect. Someone wanted to add. Who was that?
Is John? Oh, is John Walters on the line?
I was going to add something to what Maria was saying. This is Cindy from Arkansas.
Hi, Cindy.
There are videos on the hadley.edu page that explain how to do a lot of the accessibility functions on your iPhone.
Oh, thank you. Great idea.
Cindy, did you talk to my daughter today, Lauren Auer?
Yes.
Okay. She told me she talked to someone from Arkansas. Thank you very
much. Your name
much.
Is, are you Jessie?
Yes.
Oh, she's wonderful. I'm so proud of her.
We are too. Has anyone done any of the GenSight study?
I know.
Nicole?
Yes.
Jessica, we don't really talk about that.
Oh, you didn't make the disclaimer.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We don't really talk about clinical trials and things going on. But there are definitely people in the trial, so maybe Lisa could get you connected to other people that have been in the trial before. You just don't specifically talk about.
You can call me.
That's Cindy.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you, and I do apologize.
No worries.
Oh,
I
don't worry about
it. Thing, so, no worries.
Jessica, maybe someone could talk about the iris glasses that were at the conference.
That's what we wanted to know about, too. Yes.
Yeah,
Lauren's very interested in those.
Maria, can you talk about that?
Yeah, I could talk a little bit about it. And I don't know if Andy pops on, definitely have him talk about it. Iris Vision is a wearable device. They look a little bit like goggles. And if you painted them yellow, you would look like a minion. Okay, not to downgrade it, but whatever. But sometimes that just doesn't matter. These glasses, unlike some of the other wearables, have a very large screen to look through, and which makes it a lot easier for folks who have only peripheral vision. When you put these glasses on, you're basically like looking through. If you either take a phone and you put it horizontally, that's what you're looking through. And you have like touch pads on the side of these goggles, for lack of a better word, that will focus, zoom in, zoom out, and my personal experience with it was I could see color. I could see people across the room. Now, not perfect. Not perfect by any means. I could see somebody. Then I could zoom in, and zoom out, whatever. I could have it close, look at somebody close, and I could see, like, oh, you have a mustache, you're smiling, you have, you know, brown hair, which I couldn't do without them.
Wrinkles.
Wrinkles. Man, you've gotten old. Your hair's gray. Hey.
Or you could look at a business card. You know, you just change the focus and the zoom, and you could look at a business card. Now, my nephew tried them on, and he thought he could use them for maybe reading at college and things, but it would just be too daunting for that. Andy thought they were going to be very useful if he was to get a pair to go to the theater. Living in New York, he does go to a lot of theater, and instead of buying orchestra seats, he might be able to, you know, get the cheaper seats and wear the Iris Vision, and he could see the stage. Again, not perfect, but it's better than not having them. So that's my experience with it. I know Lisa tried them on. I know several folks here tried them on. Again, you do have to have some usable peripheral vision, you know, to probably get anything out of them.
Okay.
And $2,500. You asked that question right as it's coming out. They're $2,500, which is a steal compared to a lot of the other wearables. But a lot of the other wearables that go for
$10,000.
They come down in price. $10,000 now, it's a deal.
Wonder why.
I'm talking about eSight. Again, everyone needs to try on their wearables. I've tried on eSight. Many people tried on eSight. You need to try them to see if they do or do not work for you. But those are $10,000, and they
don't do anything for me.
90% of the time don't work for people with LHON.
Okay.
But I'm not saying don't try them. So the Iris Vision is a steal at $2,500. And a lot of times, Department of Blind Services and Department of Rehab may even purchase those for somebody if that's a device that, you know, they want and they can justify the use for them. Again, I'm sure Lisa's putting up a link.
I'm not knocking stuff, and I tried those on. But I'm just, you know, for money and stuff, and unless you have the money. But as time goes on, thanks to the technology, it's just in the past, 5 years, 10 years with the phone, iPhone and things. But things are going to get better, smaller.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
One thing I'll say about the Iris glasses, I tried them. I thought they were, and I had the eSight thing on it, and they were so heavy I thought I couldn't lift my head up. But this Iris glasses, I thought were comfortable on. I didn't find them uncomfortable and too heavy.
Okay.
Right.
This
but you're still
true.
Not.
They were light.
You're not gonna walk around, you know, with them. They're for maybe TV. I don't know, like the theater, like Maria said.
Yes, but they're you could see, you could sit down and watch TV, but your head's not going to like fall to the side or something, thinking I can't hold these up.
If someone asked me why don't I have them, why don't I try and get them, and I'll tell you, if my kids were still in sport and marching band and I was doing a lot of those things where I'd go to watch my kids do, you know, productions or shows or sports, I would probably have them on my list for Christmas. But my kids are older, they don't do any of that stuff anymore, so again, it's all justifying how much are you going to use them compared to how much they cost.
I agree with you. This is Lisa from Canada. I tried them too, and I thought they were very, very neat. And I wish they were around years ago when I could have watched, you know, my son play hockey instead of using my binoculars. But, you know, for the first time, I was able to see people's faces, recognize people. I saw Andy's beard, which I knew he had, and I turned and I asked where my mom was, and I was able to see my mom for the first time in 15 years since I lost my vision. And that was very emotional to...
I was right there watching.
Well, yeah, I think there were several people there that, you know, it was an experience that kind of went, wow, I can see again. I think an ideal situation would be if that company would offer to rent them out for special occasions.
Yeah.
You know, it's they're $2,500 U.S., which compared to others is certainly affordable. Some states may cover the cost. In Canada, it's a little bit different. We'd be out of pocket, but that's not really the issue. Like Maria said, they are definitely not fashionable. They're hard on the hair, and I tell you, all I needed was a snorkel, and I could go snorkeling. That's how I felt. But if you can get past
that,
I mean, they definitely did work. But I think everyone needs to try things before actually going out and investing in them. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
And my comment on the conference was, I miss all you guys so much. Had an amazing, amazing time. I wasn't sure if I was going to call in today because I had shoulder surgery done this morning, so I'm kind of half in and out of it right now, but I couldn't miss this call to have the opportunity to just say how wonderful the conference was, to meet old friends, to meet new people. You know, Ashley, I think you're amazing. So new into it and coming out, and, you know, all the other people, Cindy, finally meeting you after talking on the phone, and I could go on and on and on, you know, Wayne, Susie, Maria, Chris, everybody, but just Melissa, thank you for all that you did as well, too.
Melissa's been our guardian angel through all this. I thank my other daughter for getting in touch with her every day.
And
yes,
let's thank, anyway, she's probably not on the call, but Molly Knox.
Molly Knox, yes.
Molly Knox.
She took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's
probably on the call and being quiet.
Well,
thank
Molly.
You very much.
Oh,
there
she is.
Hi,
Molly.
She is. Okay.
Hi,
Molly. Was amazing. And I adore her as well as I'm sure everyone else does. I wanted to take her home in my pocket, but, you know, I couldn't do that. So
that would have been nice. I would have loved that.
No, she's terrific.
Yeah.
If I can make one more comment, I didn't say, Maria, you brought together an amazing panel this year. I mean, this is my fourth conference, and I don't think there was a dry eye in that audience. So you did a great job, Maria, as well, too.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes.
And when Ashley was talking, I am all choked up, you know, star six, muted. And Ashley, your words, what you said about the panel, you know, just, you know, fills my heart, for one. But it also, you know, confirmed the reason we do that panel every year, and also the motivation for me to talk with people, find people who I think are going to share amazing stories, who aren't afraid to share their story and to, you know, put it out there to the world. Because you, just like you, Ashley, I'm getting all chills and everything right now. You need to hear other people's stories. You need to know you're not alone. And as you've already said, again, I'm just like chilled saying all this. That's why I do that panel. That's why it's my absolute favorite thing to do. That's why we, you know, Lissa loves presenting that in the conference schedule every year. It's for exactly what you said. And if that helps somebody to know that they belong here and they have the support and they're not alone, it's gold. It's absolute gold.
You make amazing difference. I mean, just those stories, like, you know, like what I'm going through versus what you went through or anyone else. It's huge to know that, hey, I got to get up tomorrow. I got to wake up another day. I got to keep doing this.
Yeah.
Because they did.
You can
do it, you know?
Exactly. And you know that if you get to the point where you're like, man, I'm just having a lot of really bad days, you know there's so many – and I know you talked with James, and you know there's – I mean, how many people you can't even count on two hands, because there's more, that you could call. And now you know them personally, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know them personally. Exactly. You could, and you could call anyone any day. And you could call someone, you know, 6 months from now and say, hey, I just want to talk, or send them a text or whatever. And they'll go, yep, get it, when do you want to talk? And that's what's so huge about it. So thank you for your, you know, wonderful words about the panel. And I hope I can bring, you know, another amazing panel next year as well. I know this one will be hard to beat, you know, but every year everyone's got a different story, a different twist, a different flavor. And so I have no doubt, you know, we'll have more people sharing their journeys as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And for any newcomers here tonight, just like, in my opinion, once you go to the conference for the first time, you will be back again, unless it's just so far away or so expensive, you know. But I was so happy to hear it was in Tennessee, because I'm in Florida now. But and I was just thrilled when Lissa said, way before this conference happened, that next year is going to be in Virginia, which that's where my mom is, and my granddaughter and daughters and friends and everything. So,
hey, Lance, no, John.
There's my guy. Come on.
Yeah,
so,
I'm sorry, I got kind
tell,
of
tell
cut.
Them what you, tell everybody out. What you told me about.
Hey, John.
You had to leave early. And this is John's first conference.
So I've had this for 21 years, and I wish that I had, you know, the conference 21 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible to go there and just be among everybody that was – everybody's got at least one thing in common, and we had a lot more once we started talking. But it was just – I don't know. It was pretty emotional. When we left on Friday, I know a lot of y'all were going – downtown Nashville, Laura and I had to leave, and I was just kind of broke down, and Laura did too, because it's just like you, all these people that you just wanted to, you want to see them again, because you have an instant family,
yeah,
and everybody knows what you're talking about, and it's just this instant, you know, you don't have to say anything, everybody knows what you've gone through, and it's good to just be there, and I just felt so good to talk to people that have had it for 3 months, 6 months, 40 years, but mainly for the people just going through it, to say, hey, you can get through this. You know, I'm working. This is how I do it. Call me. I can hopefully help you out, or at least tell you what I do. And I'll be back. I'm already thinking, you know, I'll be in D.C. next year. But the only reason I did this, well, there's a couple, but Wayne was a good example to tell me how you got to do it. So.
I'll see you next year, John. It's Ashley. It was great talking to you.
And I told you, hey, call me anytime, and I want to be there for you. So.
Thank you.
Likewise, Ashley. It's Lisa from Canada. If you ever need someone, I'm here.
Thank you.
But you just meet lifelong friends, and I told Wayne and Susie, hey, y'all come up to the cabin and whenever. I want to see y'all. So this is awesome networking. You can't beat it.
John, it's Cindy, and you were very helpful. Thank you.
Well, I hope so, but I just wish I had somebody to talk to so many years ago, and now it's just easy to talk about it because you've had it for so many years, and you just know there's it's not the easiest thing to deal with, and there's some bad times, but it's you can get through it for the most part, and. It's good to have that support group, for sure.
And John's wife, Lori, you know, it's like try to move around, talk to people, and it was like John Knox is constantly sending me people. I don't know if John's on the phone, but, you know, he sent me Ian in 2007, last year, I think, or maybe the year before, but can't remember the girl's name. This is a massage therapist that is pretty bad off. I think she's almost totally blind or something. But here comes Lori walking her over, and I didn't really recognize Lori because I'm like, well, who is this? You know, because I just didn't recognize her. But she was jumping right in there and then helping people out.
Hey, Wayne, it was Shantae that Lori
started
introducing me. Yeah. Yeah, I just, Lori's not on, I don't have an on speakerphone, but she's right here, so.
She was the best.
Yeah, Lori and his mother, Sheila. Sheila, you're in the phone
call. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, they're two great ladies that were nice to chat with, and I'm so glad they were there, too. It was just great meeting all of you. So I'm so glad you'll come back next year. It was a pleasure meeting all of you. I just got to say. Now, at the conference, I had so many wonderful conversations, but and I just had silly conversations with people because we just get it. I said to two people, I said, do you ever get frustrated trying to plug an electrical appliance in? And, so I commiserated with them about that. I said, you know, I tried to do something the other day, and I don't get frustrated all that often, but I finally had to step away and just try and do it later because I got so angry. And sure enough, they absolutely knew what I was talking about. And I thought, oh, man, this is great. You know, you can talk to them about anything, and they just get it. Talking to them about plugging in an electrical thing in, I thought, you know, I can't talk to my kids about this or anybody else, but people here get what I'm talking about.
I agree with you with the electrical
plan. That always frustrates me, you know. And imagine going to a quote-unquote normal person.
Let's talk about
it. Yeah, well, I misspoke about that. I didn't mean it that way, Wayne. But do you know what I mean? We were
in. I start off jabbing.
I see the same
then
thing.
Then I get down, bend out further, and try. And then they're saying, I'm on my knees, you know? And it's like, you know, I've been doing it for 30 years. I'm like, 40 years.
Yeah, but one of these days I'm going to electrocute myself for sure. I'm going to stick my fingers in there.
Well, I'm not because I don't vacuum anymore.
Well, we were up in the party room, and I thought, you know, I was thinking about some of the conversations I had, and I thought, geez, I was talking to them about plugging in, an appliance, and I thought, but they understood what I was talking about, and I thought, this is great conversations. They were mindless, but it was great.
Yeah. If I had a house built, I'd have all the outlets eye level.
Yeah.
Depending on how tall you are, though, I guess. Susie would have a tough time.
Well, I'll put them, you know, one of them, you know, 5 foot,
we'll get our
one 6 foot.
Yeah. Actually, I have to admit, and I don't think Paul or Eric are on the phone, but Eric was, Paul is from New York, everyone that's new to the call, and he came last year, first time to the conference. He spoke at the conference as well, and he's been affected for 31 years?
31
years. And he came this year and brought his husband. And what I thought was really kind of neat was I was talking a lot with Eric, and he gave his perspective of what it was like seeing all the affected people. So I was actually talking to someone that lives with somebody that's affected, and his biggest beef, and I still laugh about this, is when we were at the restaurant and he was, I wish they were on the call, trying to read the menu. And Maria, I think you were sitting beside me. He was trying to read the menu to half the group, and my mom was at the other side of the table, and she was reading the menu to the other half of the group that couldn't see. And Eric would try, he'd say part of it, and then everybody would start talking, and he'd go, oh, my God, I know you guys can't see, but this is ridiculous. I thought you guys would have good hearing, good acute. So I looked at him. I said, well, nobody knows who you're talking to because you haven't said our names. He goes, oh,
yeah.
Good point.
You were saying we don't have good attention span. We do not have a good attention span.
Yeah. And then
I looked at the menu online before I ever got there. I knew what I was having.
The next time he tried to read the menu once again, and he goes, okay, I give up. And he bangs his fist on the table. Everybody turned. He goes, oh, my God, it works. And it was priceless. It's something that, like, I'm going to take from that conference. another perspective of, because he had never been in an environment seeing what his husband go through. He's just been living
yes.
with it. So it was another perspective of how the carriers or friends or families also deal with it and see it. And I thought it was kind of neat to talk through that part of it as well.
It helps them out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Makes them understand.
I have a story along that line. My mother, the next morning after the night before, she had met all these people, and she was thinking, I have all these new friends. And then the next morning, she's in the hotel, and we're having breakfast, and she's noticing that all the people that she thought were her new friends weren't greeting her, and it finally occurred to her, oh, these people can't see me.
That's
a
right?
fantastic realization for my mother.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it,
yes.
Is your mom is, yeah. is a partier.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
I get a text from her. She says, where are we going to play tonight? Where are we
going to
play tonight?
She was...
Well,
I had to kick her out.
She was like the last one of the last ones to leave my room. Yeah.
Leave my room.
Yeah.
Get a room. You've got to go. You have got to leave.
I said, Helen, the security is at the door. You've got to leave. Are they going anywhere next? I said, I don't know, but you gotta leave here.
So funny.
I chatted with Eric too, and I said to him, well, one of the best and one of the worst parts at the same time for me, and he agreed with me, is I love the photograph. I love that part. We all get mm-hmm. together and we're standing low someplace, and the photographer is up high someplace, and we look somewhere. We can't see the photographer, but we just smile and look up. And I love every photograph. I really, really do. But then in the same sense, I hate it because that means it's over. And you're seeing a lot of people depart then, and you have to say goodbye to people, and I get really sad because it means, the photograph means it's over. And but I love how we just all get together and they say smile, and we have no idea where the photographer is, but we just we just smile. And you know, we carry on, but that means it's ended, and it's like, I want it to last one more day.
Well, that's why this call came about, yeah. Jessica. Can you talk about that, how this call came about?
Yeah, it's so true. All the things that you guys are talking about, like, you never want it to be over. Maria, Annie, and I had the same feelings. We all stood there at the end of the conference and kind of stared at each other and said, like, now what? Like, we don't want this to ever end. So that's actually how we created this phone call. That was our very first conference. What year was that?
2014.
We were leaving
I think it was
Pittsburgh.
14. That was my first conference.
Yes, 14.
Okay, 14. Okay. And, I mean, it was the exact same thing that you guys are talking about. We said, how do you leave this? How do you leave this friendship that you just created with somebody that totally gets it when I'm trying to go through vision loss? And so, so LA2N Live was formed. And, oh, my gosh, it's been history ever since. It's been so fantastic. It's LA2N Live is great because we've reached out to so many people all over the country, all over the world. Michelle, did you get on the phone, Michelle? We had Michelle from Australia trying to jump on, so I was hoping we would catch her. But so many great people from all over the world, and being able to connect with all your favorite closest LA2N family and be miles and miles apart, and it's just priceless. So it is actually It's every single month for our newcomers to join us again. Every single month, it's the first Wednesday of every month. So actually next month's call, and normally I never have this date down. So the first Wednesday of August is, you would think I'd be looking that up while I'm sitting here.
August 1st, first day of the month.
Always know.
August 1st.
August 1st, perfect. So definitely feel free to come back and join us, and we would love to have you back. So it's Wednesday, August 1st. So it's 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. So come back and join us. We'll have another fantastic guest speaker, and we'll all be back to say hello to each other once again. I do want to take the time. I'm going to stop the recording. But please feel free to hang out, especially our newbies. We have so many great people on this phone call right now that are awesome resources for anything and everything. So hang tight. I'm going to stop the recording. And before I do stop the recording, Ashley, Wayne, thank you so much for being such amazing guest speakers to help us take us back to the conference and share your experiences. And I mean, Ashley and Wayne, it's great to be able to hear your stories, especially if you'd shout out to Ashley, being newly affected and being able to share your story with us and your experience. We really appreciate
thanks.
It, all of us. I appreciate
thanks
you
for
being
having
here.
Me.
Thank
and
you.
Wayne, I mean, we can't say thank you enough for being like this awesome hospitality anywhere and everywhere you go. So thank you both for being here, and thanks for joining us on LA Film Live. But one second.
Thank you. That's my first time talking or